In my sermonette today, I would like to address one major reason why God confronts a person whom he has called out of this world after giving him the gift of the Holy Spirit with regular tests and trials. These tests are not always easy and can at times be overwhelming. So, what is one reason for this? In answering this question, I would like to talk in parallel to a fascinating analogy. The sermonette has the title Polished Gems. Polished Gems. From time to time, I like to watch a program on German television in which art historians and other experts classify very old and often also very valuable objects in their historical and epochal background and calculate their present value. Even though the owners who present these heirlooms or gifts are often unable to communicate much about them, I'm always fascinated by what the experts can say about it. Particularly exciting for me is the section of jewelry from times long gone, extremely ornately and richly decorated with detail. A jewelry made of precious metals and gemstones. Jewelry which had a captivating charisma not only on the spectator, but also make the eyes of the experts shine. But what gives, for instance, a golden and with diamonds occupied necklace its special charisma and made it already in earlier times a very valuable piece of jewelry? In relation to the gemstones, the experts regularly evaluate the carat or the weight, the purity, the intensity of the color, and last but not least, the type of cut. Particularly very pure stones with only a few inclusions, which have considerable size and are also worked in an elaborate process of cutting, arise feelings of noticeable enthusiasm during the expert's report and are very important in the value assessment process. We in God's church know that everything in this world is from God the Father and was created through his Son, Jesus Christ. Of course, this also includes all gemstones that can be found all over the world in the most beautiful colors. But God is not only the creator and true owner of the gemstones in the original meaning of the word. Something much more valuable belongs to him, and that is not a lifeless mineral, but the gemstone created of flesh and blood, called human. Studying the first chapter of the book Genesis gives us the knowledge on how God renewed the surface of this earth. In 6 days, and at the end of the first 5 days, it is written that it was good. But at the end of the sixth day, when man was created in the image of God, we can read in verse 31 that God saw everything that he made, and indeed it was very good. But why does it say very good? Because God knew the potential of the created human would have the potential to become God beings in the future. Boundless, perfect, and holy beings, consisting of spirit, who would live together as one family in eternity. In order to stay with the analogy of the gems, for God the various humans are so much more valuable than anything else created by him, as in comparison, The different gemstones are so much more valuable than all types of stones in the world. This can even be read very impressively in a passage in the Old Testament. In Exodus, the priestly clothing of Aaron and his sons is described, of which we know that for the people of Israel, they were physical forerunners for the permanent eternal high priest Jesus Christ. Let us now read together this passage in Exodus 28 and verses 16 to 21. Exodus 28, verses 16 to 21. I read from the New King James Version, which informs us particularly about the breastplate. Verse 16. It shall be doubled into a square. A span shall be its length, and a span shall be its width. And you shall put settings of stones in it, four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardius, a topaz, and an emerald. This shall be the first row. The second row shall be a turquoise, a sapphire, and a diamond. The third row, a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold settings, and the stones shall have the names of the sons of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, each one with its own name. They shall be according to the 12 tribes. Here the gems are associated with the names of the sons of Israel. On each stone a name was to be written. Let us also read verse 29. So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of judgment over his heart when he goes into the holy place as a memorial before the Lord continually. Finally, all physical Israelites descended from the 12 sons of Israel according to their tribes, so that it can be said that God's own people, the physical Israel of that time, were represented symbolically by the 12 stones on the breastplate of the high priest. The high priest was to always remember the Israelites when he performed the sacrificial service for them, for instance, by thanksgiving or asking for forgiveness before God. True Christians today, who have God's Holy Spirit in them, are spiritual Israelites. If one looks at the passage just read with the eyes of the New Testament, it can be said that the 12 gemstones have a symbolical meaning for the spiritual Israelites today. But in contrast to the mortal high priests of ancient Israel, they now rather commemorate the true high priest, Jesus Christ, who will remain forever and ever, of these people as he carries their names on his heart when he comes to thank and intercede before God the Father. In the end, God will not only give the Holy Spirit to his first fruits, but to all people who have ever lived, live, and will live in the future, after sincere, deep repentance, faith in the gospel of the kingdom of God, and faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And if we take another look at the analogy of the gemstones, then Christ will appear before God the Father for each human gem and will remember him graciously. But let us now return to the initial question. What is an important reason for the multitude of different tests and trials in the life of a true Christian? Why will he be confronted with so many difficult situations, spiritual, sometimes very difficult, struggles, challenges, and also suffering? What is to be recognized through these tests? A person who is called out of the world by God does not possess the perfect, clear, true, and righteous character of God. He is characterized by the essence of this world, a mixture of teachings, views, lifestyles, ideologies, and traditions that are based on human wisdom. And this wisdom is not divine wisdom, but is from Satan, the despot and adversary of God. The person is shaped by a life under Satan's influence. The Apostle Paul describes the attributes of an individual cut off from God in more or less distinct form. Let us read Galatians chapter 5 and verses 19 to 21. Galatians 5 and chapter and verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul gives us here the admonition that people who have such character traits and lifestyles will not be born into the God family. God only wants those people in his family which attain his inherent character traits. And how can one describe the character of God? Let us read on in chapter 5 in verses 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. But regularly asking for the Holy Spirit, God gives us share in his divine nature, and we must let this Holy Spirit work within us. We must allow God to change our hearts of stone step by step into hearts of flesh. That means hearts which, among other things, feel compassion, understanding, devotion, or caring. But something else has to happen. The giving of the Holy Spirit alone is not enough. The man has to actively do something with his gift of God. He must use it. Divine character formation does not develop overnight, but is a process that begins when God, through the action of the Holy Spirit, has opened our minds for the truth, and which, after the baptism, opens gradually and continued throughout the remaining physical life. The Holy Spirit enables us not only to simply read the Word of God, but also to understand its meaning and writes it into our hearts. He guides us and gives us the urgent desire to abide God's laws, statutes, and legal systems. When God begins to work with a man who up to then was still committing a lot of works of the flesh, it can be compared, if we again go back to the analogy of the gemstones, at that time with a gemstone in its raw and untreated shape. However, such a stone is still not very attractive after its extraction. He is already perceived as a special mineral, but is often surrounded by other inferior minerals, has little gloss, and it's irregular in shape. He is still missing, so to speak, any treatment so that it will be recognized as a beautiful gemstone. In order for raw gemstones to become a jewel, further processing is required. This is done by God. When we have to deal with various and lots of tests supported by his teaching and inspiring spirit. These tests can be compared with the cutting and polishing of a gemstone. When grinding, the first step is to level or smooth the surface by using very hard mineral grains that places the stone into its certain and best form. It's a shaping process that completely changes the appearance of the stone. It's a very abrasive technique that leaves distinct traces on the raw stone. The polishing process then removes even the smallest scratches from the formed stones and increases the shine. The result at the end is a gemstone that is beautiful to look at and that reflects the light in special dimensions. As with a stone, so the Christian. God the Father wants us to train and educate in the best way possibly through the tests and trials in order to form His perfect character in us. And this happens in deep love for us because, as we heard, we are also carried on the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through the tests and trials that He shows us which aspects we have already developed well and in which we have to become even more perfect. We thereby recognize our point of view and degree of spiritual development, and even if some trials can be compared to a rut and prolonged or repetitive grinding of a facet, it happens nevertheless to our best. Finally, let us read Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 6 to 11. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons, for what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of the spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but He for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. The decisive factor is to identify the mistakes revealed by the tests, to critically assess them, and the most important thing is not to repeat them. So let us rejoice in every test that God has given us for our upbringing and character formation, in order to be able to be born into the family of God at the end of this process. We must be an active part to become wonderful, valuable human gemstones that reflect the bright light of God in the most beautiful colors.